Morning. Today's Daf Mav Mitzios Nun Vav. Thank the Lupin Foundation with sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is learned. L'zeich Nishmat Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We're in the Mishnah Nun Hei Amud Beis. Mishnah starts off Chamishu Chum Shin Hei. There are five fifths, which is good. Mathematically, that's one. But because Chumash is really a quarter, so okay. Anyway. The Mishnah is teaching us that there are five categories in the Torah where the demands that you pay principal and that you pay chumash as well. And basically what the Mishnah is doing is it's going to put it into a category. Why are we discussing this right now at this point in time? So the fourth parak of Mamitsiya is primarily occupied with discussing the Isra of Ona'a, and in the next Mishnah, which is coming up later this morning, so we're going to go back to the Mishnah discussing the topics of Ona'a. But as long as we talked about Ona'a, we talked also about Maaser Sheni, because that also requires kesef and a lot of monetary issues. We know that when Maaser Sheni, when you're poured to your own Maaser Sheni, you have to add on a fifth. So it allowed the Mishnah an opportunity, Rav Yehuda Nasi, an opportunity to just basically go a little bit off topic and tangentially discuss the idea of chumash. So what are the five-fifths of the Torah? So chamisha chumshin hein, there are five chumashim. So number one, ha'ochel chuma. So anyone who consumes chuma. Now, I don't mean anybody, meaning if you are, if you're not a kohen, and bishogig, and inadvertently you... Someone pointed to you to the food and you ate it and you didn't know it was truma at the time. So now you're ochel truma bishogeg. And so therefore, what do you have to do? You have to go to the Kohen, make restitution to the Kohen, and add a fifth as well. And as long as we're talking about truma, the Mishnah then goes off and rattles off anything that is categorically truma as well. So number one, truma, these are not the next category. These are just simply offshoots of truma. Truma's meiser. We know when the Levi gets his 10% of meiser rishon, so he has to give 10% of that to the Kohen. That's called Truma's Meiser. That also has the status of Truma. Uchumas Meiser Shal Demai. And also Uchumas Meiser of Demai. Meaning that when you buy produce from an Amma Aretz and you are not sure whether or not he took off Chumas or Meisros, now the Gemara says time and again, Rova Ameha Aretz Maasrin. The majority of them do take off Chumas or Meisros. But the Chachamim made a Chumra that when you buy produce from an Amma Aretz, so you have to take off Chumas or Meisros. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is that the same halacha is going to be true here as well. That when you buy, when you're being poda, when you consume the Trumas Meiser of Demai, meaning Trumas Meiser of the Am Haaretz, so remember, so you then took, you purchased produce from the Am Haaretz, you then took 10% to give it over to the Levi, Meiser Rishon, of that 10% is now going to be Trumas Meiser, and if somebody were to come and inadvertently eat that, so he also would be chayav to have to pay chumash as well. Vehachala, that's the portion taken off the dough that's given to the Kohen. If you are a baker, you take off a 48th. If you are a balabais, you take off a 24th. And you give the portion of the dough over to the Kohen. Bismanazeh, we take off a portion, but we burn it. Habikurim, the first fruits of every year. So in all these cases, mosif chumash. So if you were to eat all these things inadvertently, you have to make full restitution, Karen, and you also have to add a chumash as well. Basically, all these are subdivisions of a form of truma. Next, categorically, number two, hapo de neta revai. If you are redeeming neta revai. Neta revai is the fruit that comes off the tree in the fourth year. The first 3 years after the tree is planted, you're not allowed to eat any of the fruit. That's called arla. In the fourth year, the fruit can be eaten, but in the same manner that Maaser Sheni is eaten, where the fruit is brought to Yerushalayim, and more practically, is going to be deconsecrated into money, and the money is going to be taken to Yerushalayim. When you're mechala, the neta revai, the fourth year fruit, so you have to take its value, redeem it with that value, and you also have to add on a chumash as well. Next, Maaser Sheni Shalom, Mosif Chumash. And also the same thing is true regarding your Maaser Sheni, meaning if you're being poda your own Maaser Sheni, you have to add a chumash. Next, ha poda sekdeisha mosif chumash. If you are makdish something, you consecrated something to the Beis Hamikdash, and then you redeem it. If it was originally yours and you're redeeming it to go back to you, so you have to redeem it at its value plus a chumash as well, mosif chumash. Hanana sheva pruta mehakdish mosif chumash. Number four, if you get benefit from Hekdesh, meaning what we would describe as Me'ilah. So if you misappropriate temple funds, so you have to make restitution, you have to add Chamesh as well. Number five, Hagozos Chaver, Shavaprutav, and Ishbalah, Mosif Chamesh. If you steal from your friend, and then an accusation is made that you stole, and then you swore saying you didn't steal, and now you want to come clean and you want to make a Hoda'ah, so the Torah demands that you have to make restitution and you have to add a Chamesh as well. So those are the categories of Chamesh. One is Truma. Two is Pidyon, Maaser Sheni, and Neter Ravai. Three is redeeming Hekdesh that you yourself were Makdish. Four is Me'ilah. And five is Shvuas HaPikadon, denying having stole. In all these five cases in the Torah, you are required to make restitution and add on a fifth. Okay, Adkan Divrei HaMishnah. So the Mishnah is an excellent sikkum. It's an excellent summary of the five times in the Torah where there's a requirement to pay to make a 1/5 surcharge on what you have taken. Gemara starts off with a very singular discussion, a very pointed discussion. The discussion is going to weave in and out, but basically from here until the next Mishnah, which is halfway through today's daf, it's going to revolve around one topic. There's one glaring problem with the Mishnah. Okay, there may be others as well, but there's one glaring problem, and that the Mishnah included in the list of times that you're going to have to pay Chomesh is when you buy produce from an Am Haaretz, what we would describe as Demai. Again, let's review. Amei Haaretz are not super meticulous when it comes to halacha, and some of them, when they take the produce in from the field, or when they purchase produce from somebody, let's go back to the original. When they take produce in from the field, so some of them don't take off Shumas HaMaisos. So, if you were to eat produce that was untithed, so that is what's called tevel, and the consumption of tevel comes with it the punishment of Misa B'dei Shamayim. So when you're buying produce from Ma'am Haaretz, so the Chachamim said, look, a lot of them take off Shumas HaMaisos, but some of them don't. And so as a Chumra D'Rabbanan, as a rabbinic stringency, the requirement is that any time that you buy produce from Ma'am Haaretz, you have to take off Shumas HaMaisos. But the Gemara acknowledges, time and again, that this is a Chumra D'Rabbanan. It's a rabbinic stringency. There are a number of leniencies to this chumrah. There's an entire masechta dedicated to this topic. But here's the problem. The problem is that when our Mishnah is categorizing the five times that you have to pay chomesh, so in that category is included the person who eats trumas meiser of demai. The person who's eating trumas meiser of demai has to make restitution, has to add chomesh. Now let's think this through. You're eating trumas meiser of demai. What's the likelihood? The likelihood is that the Am Haaretz did take off Shumas HaMaisos. Now, it's true that you, as a rabbinic stringency, need to take off Shumas HaMaisos, but in the event that you didn't, and now, b'di'avid, after the fact, you've just discovered that you ate Shumas HaMaisos of Demai. So the Mishnah says, now you have to make full restitution, now you have to add a Chomesh as well. At worst, you violated an Isser D'Rabbanan. It's only because of a rabbinic stringency that you have to take off Shumas HaMaisos of Demai. So imagine now that for violating Issur D'Rabbanan, the imposition is that you have to now pay full value back, and you have to add a Chomesh as well. That's difficult, and that's where we're headed in terms of our discussion of the Gemara from here, basically until the next Mishnah. So let's start the discussion with a comment made by Rava. Amar Rava. Kasha le the Rebbe Elazar. Now he says that there's a difficulty for Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar over here is the Amora Rebbe Elazar. Rashi identifies Rebbe Elazar ben Pedas, who was a contemporary of Rav Yochanan. So Rebbe, who is a later Amora, is quoting an early Amora, and he notes that the following difficulty. So, and the difficulty goes like this. Kasha le Rebbe Elazar, Trumas Maaser Shel Demai, V'Chiyasu Chachamim Chizuk L'Divreihem, Kishel Torah. I don't understand that the Chachamim really went so far as to treat Demai like Isser Torah. So that when you eat Demai, you're going to now have to pay Chomesh. That's very difficult to understand. So that's the difficulty of Rebbe Elazar, and it's a strong question. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara quotes, B'Shem Rav Nachman, B'Shem Shmuel, Amani Rav Meirhi. Okay. No problem. We'll just simply assign the Mishnah authorship to Rebbe Meir. Now, of course, it makes perfect sense. Tam Mishnah Rebbe Meir. So it is very easy to put to align the Mishnah like Shitas Rebbe Meir. De Amar Asu Chachamim Chizuk LeDivrei B'Shal Torah DeTanya. And the Gemara says that Rebbe Meir takes rabbinic law and asu chizuk ledivrayim in order to reinforce and make sure that people understand that don't come along and say, oh, it's just a din derabanan, we can be makel, there's leniencies. Now it's interesting because within dine derabanan there are built-in leniencies. For example, safek derabanan lekula. Okay, it's a built-in leniency when it comes to a din derabanan. But I guess this is almost like a counterbalance measure, just to make sure that people understand that don't walk away thinking it's just a din derabanan. So there are times where asu chizuk ledivrayim, that the chachamim reinforced the rabbinic legislation, and they did so by treating it shel Torah. So asu chachamim chizuk ledivrayim b'shel Torah, d'tanya. So the Gemara says, I'll give you an example where it's very clear that Reb Meir holds this way, based on the following. Now maybe get me min dinas yam nasnu la v'lo amr la b'fanenechtam yotzi v'avlan mamzer divrayim Reb Meir. So we learned together in the first Mishnah of Gittin that when delivering a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so the shliach has to make the following formulation. It was written in front of me, b'fanei nechtam, meaning the get, he's describing the get, and b'fanei nechtam, it was signed in front of me. And we had a lengthy discussion that covered the first number of blot of Masechta Gittin, what exactly he's accomplishing by making that formulation. But for our purposes right now, the only thing we need to appreciate is that this is a rabbinic requirement to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. And meanwhile, then now you have the shliach delivering the get, handing it over to the woman, not saying the words b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, according to Rav Meir, fail. It is an absolute failure of delivery, and the get is no good. And Rav Meir says one step further. Now, based on this get that she was given, now remember, she's given a get. It was written, it was signed. It's just that the shliach did not say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. According to Rav Meir, she now makes an attempt to remarry based on the efficacy of this get. The resulting children are going to be mamzerim because she's still a married woman. This document get is worthless. So the Gemara says, so that is Shitas Rav Meir. And the Chachamim Amrim, ain't a vlad mamzer. So, and the Chachamim say, no, the child is not a mamzer. Ketzi yase. And in terms of how to rectify the situation, Yelena me'men of Yachzor, v'yinen ala b'fnei sh'tam, v'yom ala b'fanei nechtam. Simply take the get away from her. Then, before handing it to her again, articulate the formula of b'fanei nechtam, give it to them, and that will be sufficient. Ula Reb Meir, and the Gemara is just now summarizing. Let's think about what Reb Meir is saying. Mishum de lo amar la b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, yosef avla mamzer. So the Gemara says, so you mean to tell me that because the shliach did not formulate the sentence, the code of b'fanei nechtam, now you're going to tell me the child's a mamzer? In. So the Gemara says, that's the conclusion. Reb Meir l'tami de amar rav amnuna mishme de ula, omer ya Reb Meir, kol ha-mishanim imad be'er shetav ha-chachamim, anytime you make any deviation from the way the chachamim expect us to formulate, begitten as it relates to getting yotzi vavlad mamzer. So if she remarries, so that should result in a yotzi. In other words, the second marriage is just simply, it's a not recognized marriage. Thank you. And on top of that, the resulting children of that second marriage are going to be mamzerim. Meaning, yes, that is Shitas Rav Meir. So now that we have learned Shitas Rav Meir of Kol Mishanem Mimatbeach Chachamim Yotzei Vavlad Mamzer. So that now means that we have learned together that according to Rav Meir, even on Dine de Rabbanan, so there are times where Asu Chesik LeDivrehim. So now, to Reb Elazar's question, how did you understand our Mishnah? So the Gemara gives Shmuel's answer, which is, our Mishnah is Reb Meir, and Reb Meir feels this strongly about Dine Derabanan. Okay, so what do we have so far? Q&A. Question from Reb Elazar. Our Mishnah is requiring a Chomish when it comes to Trumas Meister of Demai? Answer, yeah. Because our Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, and Reb Meir goes that far when it comes to Dine Derabanan. Masiv Rav Sheshes. Step 3. Rav Sheshes asked the following question based on the following. Mechalan oso kesef al kesef. Now, this Mishnah is in Masechta Demai. And this Mishnah is talking about the redemption of Demai. And the Mishnah, and specifically, let me be even more specific, it's talking about Meiser Sheni of Demai. So again, means that you bought produce from an Amma Aretz. Here's what you need to do. Truma Gedola, you don't need to take off. Let's leave that alone for now. Okay, it's a demai discussion, but you don't have to take off Truma Gedola. So you have to take off Maaser Rishon. Now, in theory, what you have to do is you have to give the Maaser Rishon over to the Levi. Now, remember, it's demai, which means that there's a good chance that the Amaretz himself already took off Maaser Rishon. You're taking it off simply so that the produce is no longer tevel. Do you have to give it to a Levi? The answer really is no. You don't. Because Amotzi Mechaver Al Averaya. Once you've taken off the Maaser Rishon, now the only issue that exists is a monetary issue. Do I have to give it over to the Levi? So, Hamotzi Mechaver Al Averaya. No, you don't, because he has to bring proof positive that this Maaser Rishon, that the produce to begin with was not mufrash. It was not already separated. Next, you have to take off Maaser Sheni. Now, Maaser Sheni has Kedusha. So over here, it's not just a monetary issue, it's a Kedusha issue. So with the Maaser Sheni that you took off from the Demai, so in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, you have to go to Yerushalayim and eat the Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Or redeem it onto money, take the money to Yerushalayim. So now this is what the Mishnah and Demai is discussing. What happens now when you have Maaser Sheni of Demai? And the Mishnah goes on to explain.
Then ask yesterday a question regarding why Demai requires Maaser Sheni? It's not yours, you didn't produce it.
No. You always have to redeem Maaser Sheni. Ben's question yesterday, which was correct, is that when you're being poda your own Maaser Sheni, you have to add a chomesh. When you're being poda somebody else's Maaser Sheni, you don't have to add a chomesh. That was his question from yesterday. Generally speaking, demai is purchased. The demai, generally speaking, is not your own. So yesterday, in order to answer his question, so we suggested, it's really the only way you have to say it, is that the demai in question was his own. But in other words, Maaser Sheni always requires redemption, just with or without a chomesh. So look at that. We're talking about you, and you're right here.
Why are you
obligated to do that, Maaser Sheni? Huh? Well, you'll see. Let's follow along. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Demai. So Mechano, so Kesef al Kesef. Nechoshes al nechoshes, kesef al nechoshes, nechoshes al peros, v'yachzer v'yifte es al peros. Divra Meir. So Meir says that when it comes to the redemption of Maaser Sheni of Demai, so basically your pigeon can go in any direction. It can go from silver to copper. Now most of the coins back then were silver, right? The sel, the shekel, right? Most of the coins that we discussed in the context of the Gemara are silver coins. The smaller coins, like the pruta, for example, that's a copper coin. It's a now obviously if you put together enough copper coins, you're going to get to the seller, you're going to get to the shekel, but nevertheless, the pruta is a copper coin, smaller in denomination, and also it's less in quality because it's a inferior metal. But when it comes to redeeming Maaser Sheni of Demai, it can go in any direction. And just to repeat the mission one more time, so mechal no so kesef al kesef, you can go from silver to silver. Meaning, you already transferred the Kedusha from the Maaser Sheni of Demai onto silver coins. Now you want to transfer to other silver coins, that's fine. And Nechoshes on Nechoshes, if you want to go from copper to copper coins, that's fine. Kesef on Nechoshes, if you want to go from silver coins down to copper coins, so that's fine. Or Nechoshes on Paris, you want to go from copper coins to fruit? Meaning, that's also fine. And then what you're going to do is you're going to redeem it one more time. And again, the Kedusha just simply keeps transferring from one item to another item to another item.
Didn't Yellow put a 50% limit on the copper conversion? That you have to save copper so then you get to bid.
Right, that's correct. Meaning, that's... All right, but remember, we're talking about Maaser Sheni of Demai. So as the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment, there are numerous leniencies. So the Gemara says, Divra Meir, this is all the Sheet of Rameir. V'chachamim Amrim, Yalu Peres V'yochlu B'Yushalayim. Now the Chachamim said, just on that last point, where once you've now transferred back to fruit, that fruit has to be brought to Yushalayim and eaten in Yushalayim. But anyway, what we're looking at right now, the focus right now is on Sheet of Rameir, which allows you to transfer the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni from any direction, silver to silver, silver to copper, it doesn't matter. And now contrast it with the following. Now we're talking about going from silver to copper. So the Gemara says, Va'atanan. Now we're going to learn together a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. And the Mishnah goes like this. Sell us your Maaser Sheni. If I have a silver coin of Maaser Sheni, sell us your Maaser Sheni v'shechulin shenis arvu. So let's say we have the following scenario. I have two silver coins. One, I transfer the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni onto. The other one, just a regular silver coin. What happened was is that the two of them got mixed together. And so now I have two silver coins. One of them has Kedusha of Maaser Sheni, the other one doesn't. What do I do? So the Mishnah gives us a solution to the problem. The Mishnah says, Mevi besela ma'os. So what you're going to do now is that with the seller, you're going to bring ma'os. Ma'os in this context means small copper coins. V'yomer. Kol makom she'esh na'sela shel ma'aser she'eni mecholas ha'ma'os halalu. Now what you're going to do is as follows. I have two silver coins, one with kedushas ma'aser she'eni, one with not. I don't know which one's which. They got mixed together. I have now a series of copper coins equivalent in value. So I'm going to deconsecrate the Kedusha from whichever silver coin has the Kedusha's Meister Sheni onto the copper coins, and then Uvaris the Yafa Shebehem. Now, whichever silver coin had Kedusha's Meister Sheni has been depleted that Kedusha. I now have two silver coins. One of them is going to be the better coin. Choose the better of the two coins. Umechalal Alaha. And then what you're going to do is that you're going to take the Kedusha, which was on the copper coins, and transfer it back to the silver coin, which is the superior silver coin. Mimnei Sha'amru, we're now on the top of Nun Vav Amun Aleph, because they said, Mechal Naso Kesef Anachoshes, Midochek. There is only an occasion where you can go transfer the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni from silver to copper, but only in this situation, only because of a dochek, only because of the pressure situation that we're in. Lo shei kaim kein, and we're not doing so that the copper coins will indefinitely have the Maaser Sheni Kedusha. We're only doing so to fix and rectify the situation. So, and we're doing so only so that we could bring the Kedusha back to the silver coin. Now, there's a number of things to point out over here, and I will point them out momentarily, but let's not lose sight of what's going on. We had a Mishnah in Demai. When describing the Kedushas Meister Sheni of Demai, Rav Meir says, knock yourself out. You want to go from silver to silver, you want to go from silver to copper, you want to go from copper to fruit, meaning you can basically go in any direction that you want. There is no limitation in terms of how the Kedusha is done, and that was Shitas Rav Meir in the Mishnah in Demai. Meanwhile, we just learned together another Mishnah in Meister Sheni, describing the Meister Sheni itself, and when it comes to Meister Sheni, there are very strict regulations in terms of how Kedusha can be done. Kedusha can be transferred I'd say silver to silver, but the Mishnah doesn't even say that. The Kedusha can be transferred from silver to copper, but only under the most extenuating circumstances. But the default rule is that you can't go from silver to copper. And so, we know what the baseline rule is when it comes to Meister Sheni. You can't go from silver to copper. That's the baseline rule. And if that's the baseline rule, so how can Rav Meir in the Mishnah Demai allow for all those leniencies? You see, the problem is that we learned in the beginning of this morning that Rav Meir says, Asu Chizuk L'Divrayim. At least that was Shmuel's explanation of how to understand our Mishnah in Bab Metzia. So if that's true, if that's really Rav Meir Shita, so whatever the baseline rule is for the chilul for transferring, for deconsecrating Meister Sheni should be true by Meister Sheni Shel Demai. There should really be no difference. That's the question. And we're going to answer the question, but before we answer the question, let's take a look together at the top Rashi in Vav Amud Aleph. You see, over here we had a problem, we had a very interesting solution. What was the problem? I had two coins, one had Meister Sheni Kedusha, the other did not. So what are we going to do? We're going to take copper coins, and momentarily we're going to take the Kedusha transfer to the copper coins. Now we're going to have two silver coins available, whichever one's better. We're going to transfer the Kedusha from the copper coins to the silver coins, to the superior silver coin. That's so we had a problem, we had a solution. Rashi over here says, it's a complex solution. Why not have a much simpler solution? Think about it. I have two silver coins. One of them have Kedusha's Meister Sheni, one doesn't. Okay. So why don't we do the following? I'll hold up the better coin, and I'll say, well, if this is the one that has Kedusha's Meister Sheni, so then I'm good. And if not, so then I'll transfer the Kedusha from the inferior silver coin to the superior silver coin. Meaning, why do we need to get the copper coins involved? Rashi, on the top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph, asks exactly this question. Klomar. I'm reading the top Rashi. L'fichach hizku l'chol eilu l'chalo t'chila b'maos v'choz m'chala malos. V'lo amr shi yitol yafa shebehen. Now we don't say, says Rashi, that we should take the better coin. V'yomer im zu shal maiser hare tov. V'im zu shal chulen hare zeh hare shal maiser m'chol alas hazeh. So Rashi asks very simply, so why not just use the come up with a solution that doesn't require the copper coins, and it's very simple. So Rashi answers. So we're going to use the copper coins in this case because it's a case of an extenuating circumstance. But going silver to silver, lav derech chiluhu. V'afilu midochek nami lo. So Rashi just simply says going from silver to silver is not the manner in which you're mechala. Now why not? So Rashi just he doesn't explain it any better, just simply saying that this is not the manner in which it's done. The cave and daf kesef on the choshes lo itira lo bedochek helchel lo sheikam kein shebizayon meiserhu. Now Rashi says, now again, in terms of why not going silver to silver, Rashi just simply said that's not chilul. That's not deconsecrating. I guess it's because you're going from... right, same to same. And now, going from silver to copper, why in general is that no good? So Rashi says, number one, because it's bizayon maiserhu. Because it's degrading. Meaning, I have the silver coin, which is a superior quality. Have now the kedushas maiser sheni, and I'm now going to transfer it on to copper. It's just simply not... It's not covered. It's not an honor. It's not a means of honoring the kedushas maaser sheni. And furthermore, vaocha prutos machlidos, and on top of that, also the copper rusts. So the rusting copper is going to be an actual financial loss to the maaser sheni if the kedusha is transferred onto copper coins. So just in a pinch for this particular problem, we're allowing it. Ad kan divrei Rashi. So just a reason why, an explanation of the mission of maaser sheni, why we're going about it in this manner. Anyway, so we have a problem on our hands. We have our general explanation from Meir, also chizuk ledivreihem. Even when it comes to Demai, the Chachamim were very strict in terms of how we should treat Demai, just the same as it was Shel Torah. And meanwhile, when comparing the Mishnah and Demai and the Mishnah Maaser Sheni regarding how to deconsecrate from coins, so Maaser Sheni, Rav Meir says, go do it any way you want. Silver to silver, silver to copper, doesn't matter, it's fine. And meanwhile, by Maaser Sheni, I can only go silver to copper, only in extenuating circumstances. That's the question. Demands an answer. The Gemara is now going to provide an answer. Amar of Yosef Ranunvav and Aleph, four lines down. The answer. Alpha Pishamekel Reb Meir Bipijo. No. It's true. A Meir is lenient as it relates to the redemption of Maaser Sheni of Demai. Machmerhu Bachilaso. But if you actually consume it, so then he's going to be Machmer. You see, our Mishnah is talking about consumption. I know that because our Mishnah is talking about the requirement of paying Chomesh. Chomesh means you ate it, and therefore you have to add on a Chomesh. So when it comes to the consumption of Demai, so the Chachamim are going to be Machmer, at least within Shitas Rav Meir. When it comes to the redemption, so there we allow for leniencies. Ditanya. And the Gemara says, and I'll show you that this is in fact a good distinction. This is Rav Yosef's distinction. Lo itir limkor demai el lesiton, when selling demai, so who can you sell demai to? Now, generally speaking, you can sell demai to nobody. Meaning, if you are careful and scrupulous about about a freshest truma samaisis, what we generally describe as a chaver, somebody who is careful, so anytime he purchases demai, he has to take off shumas and maisras. And if he's going to pass along to somebody else, even sell it to somebody else, generally speaking, you can't sell it until you take off shumas and maisras. So here, what we're describing is the following. That, lo itir limkur demai ela lesiton bilvad, when selling demai, the only time you could sell it as demai, without having taken off shumas and maisras, is only when you sell it to a siton. A siton is a wholesaler. Rashi, siton chaver, I'm sorry, I just one correction I'm making. I'm not talking about selling it to the wholesaler, I'm talking about the wholesaler selling the demai. Rashi says, "Siton chaver lo tzrichu la'aser elamochro kishu demai va'alochro mimenu yafresh marzosav shakol yodim shasiton mikama ame ha'aretz lokeach." He's a wholesaler, which means that he bought this produce from multiple farmers. And shasito min ha mashpin limkor bimida gasahu darko liktos peres merubim umochram lechenvanim. And this wholesaler is selling it to various retailers. The retailers understand that when they're buying it from him, there is no way that he took off trumas amaisros, and there's an implicit understanding in that transaction that he, the seitan, who's selling the demai, did not take of trumas ha-maisos. But only under that limited circumstance can he not take of trumas ha-maisos. Otherwise, you always have to take off trumas ha-maisos. The Gemara goes on to say. But when it comes to the balabais, you always have to take off trumas ha-maisos, even if you're selling it wholesale. But if you're a homeowner, you always have to take off trumas ha-maisos.
They didn't use the word tsarif and not like stronger word.
I don't know. V'chachamim omrim echad asitam v'echad balabais mocher v'sholech l'chaver v'nosin lo b'matana v'einu choshesh. And the chachamim say no. If you're selling it like a wholesaler, doesn't matter if you're a seton, doesn't matter if you're a balabais, you can sell without taking off trumas ha-maisos. What did we just learn together? That according to Rav Meir, we are talking about the selling of demai for the purposes of consumption, therefore we're going to be machmer. That is a that substantiates Rav Yosef's answer that yes, we're when it comes to eating demai, so therefore we're going to be machmer. Meiser Ravina asked the following question: Lokech min anachtom, Meiser minachama al hatzonenes. When purchasing bread from a baker, and the baker in question is an Amaharetz. So, what you have to do now, basically, it's bread which is demai, so you're going to have to take off trumas ha-maisos. So here, you can go from the warm bread that was baked just today to the cold bread of yesterday, minatzonenes alachama, from the cold bread of yesterday to the warm bread of today, v'afilu midfusim harbe divra meir. And I can even go from various molds, meaning that when the baker breaks his bread, he's doing so in different molds. And I can be mafresh from one mold, meaning one bread, onto another bread, even though they're from different molds. And that is Shitas Rav Meir. Now, Bishlam, I'm not saying I'm a salachama, because Rav Eli. Now, the Gemara says, look, when I'm being mafresh from warm bread to cold bread, and cold bread to warm bread, obviously the warm, fresh bread is preferable. We're going to call that yafeh. It's better. Meanwhile, yesterday's bread, it's not as exciting. We'll call that ra. Okay, and generally speaking, when you're mafish truma, you should go min hayafe al hara, meaning you should be giving the kohen the choicest of the portions. You should not be giving him inferior quality. And meanwhile, when we're talking about buying bread from Amaretz, so Rav Meir says it can go in either direction. But the Gemara says, but I'm really okay with that. I understand that. Kidrabi Eli, Dama Rabbi Eli, Minan the Torah Nara Yafa, Shichuma Sachuma Shinema Velosi Sualav Chait, Barim Chem, Eschabo Mimenu. And the Gemara now explains Imenu Kodesh, Nisiyas Chait Lama. Now, if it has Kedusha, that means that post facto b'di'evid, it works. Mikan l'torim min ara l'yafe shetruma shetruma. If I'm being torin and I'm taking the inferior onto the superior, giving the kohen the inferior, so again, it's not the best thing that you should do, but it's effective. It works. So afilu mitfusim harbe. But the Gemara says, but let's consider together that what you did is you bought from the Am Haaretz, from various molds. And now what the Gemara is assuming is that the baker himself didn't bake all these molds. In fact, maybe what he did was, he really is a middleman, buying bread from this person, buying bread from that person, and each mold is reflecting a different person that he bought from. Now, so now, if it was all consistently baked by one person, so then I'll tell you that, look, it's all unilaterally demai. Either it was mufresh or it wasn't mufresh. And so when I take off trumas ha-maisos, it's fine. But if it was baked by different people, and so that means now that it's very possible that one mold was already mufresh, another mold was not mufresh, and what I'm doing is I'm trying to be mafresh on something that was already mufresh onto something that was not mufresh. And the halacha is that under those circumstances, it's simply not going to work. And why Reb Meir is allowing you to do so is because it's demai. And so now, we basically rebooted the question. We are talking about buying bread for the purpose of consumption, and Rav Meir over here is being makel. He's basically saying, it's okay, it's demai, you could be mafresh, it's no problem, even from different molds. It's not a big deal, because it's demai. So now we rebooted the question, because now it comes out that even for the purposes of achila, one is allowed to be makel because it's demai. Amar Abaye. So, That was a very long thread of Gemara. Basically, we're trying to wrap our heads around the idea that our Mishnah included Demai as one of the things that requires Chumash. If you eat Trumas Meiser of Demai, we learn back in our Mishnah, you have to pay, we have to make restitution, then you have to add Chumash, which seems to be intense and severe, especially considering that Demai to begin with is a Din D'Rabbanan. So, we started with the assertion, that was the question that was asked by the Gemara, that was asked in the name of Rav Elazar. Rava asks in the name of Rav Elazar, meaning the Amar Rav Elazar ben Pedas. The Gemara gives an answer of Shmuel. Our Mishnah is going like Shitas Rav Meir, who generally speaking is Machmer when it comes to Dine de Rabbanan, also Chizuk le Devrayhem. Rav Sheshes asks the question based on the fact that I see that Rav Meir is lenient in Demai, at least when it comes to redemption. Rav Yosef answers, and Rav Yosef says, well, by redemption, Rav Meir is going to be Mako, but when it comes to eating, he's going to be Machmer. Then the Gemara, just follow the bouncing ball. Then the Gemara asked a question from, and he supported this idea that there's a difference between between redemption and consumption. Then the Gemara asked a question by Ravina when talking about buying bread from the baker, which is clearly a case of consumption. So that's what we stand on the Gemara right now. Amar Abaye. Now I did that entire summary, A, because it's good just to follow the thread of the Gemara, and B, because it's now going to help us understand, Abaye is going to have basically an editorial section of today's daf. And here we go, Abaye's editorial section of today. Amar Abaye Rav Elazar Shapir Kakashalei. So Abaye says, as far as Rav Elazar's question that started this whole discussion going, excellent. Ushmolo Shapir Kamishanalei. As far as Shmuel's answer is concerned, not excellent. And Dekashalei Rav Elazar Misa Dibide, I'm sorry, Dekashalei Rav Elazar Misa Bishamayim Mishanalei Shmuel Misa Bide, I'm sorry, Mises Bezdin. Because what are we comparing and contrasting? We started off with the discussion of eating the Meister Sheni of Demai, even if it's really, eating the Trumas Meister of Demai, even if what it is really Trumas Meister, we're looking at a worst case scenario, Misa Bidei Shamayim. Now I know that is a worst case scenario, meaning that is pretty bad, but it's Misa Bidei Shamayim as opposed to what was the response given? Oh, let's take a look at Gittin. Gittin, if the get's no good, so then we're talking about Eshet Ish. That's Misa Bidei Adam. And that is a more severe penalty than Misa Bidei Shamayim. So the Gemara says, Dilma Shani Misa Bezdin Dechamira. So basically Abaye says, so I don't really love Shmuel's answer because I can make a very easy distinction between get versus Trumas Meiser of Demai. And V'Rav Sheshes Lo Shapir Kamosiv Lei. Now, as far as Rav Sheshes' question is concerned, so he says, to that question, I didn't love that question. Again, this is Abaye's editorial. Dekarmi inu misa umosif Rav Sheshes lav. Because we are having the discussion of Misa Bidei Shamayim. Again, we're talking about the consumption of Trumas Meiser of Demai. And meanwhile, Rav Sheshes was describing Meiser Sheni of Demai. The prohibition of eating Meiser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim is a law in the Torah. It's a negative prohibition. So once again, apples and oranges. Dichsivlo suchalacho basharecha. Ulamai demosiv Rav Sheshes Rav Yosef Shapir Kamishani lei. Now, even though I didn't love Rav Sheshes' question, but I did like Rav Yosef's distinction of redemption versus consumption. Ela Ravina. And then finally, one more stop on this whole thread. Abaye says, as far as Ravina is concerned, Adamosiv minachtom l'sayele mi palter. Before asking the question regarding the nachtom, why not ask the question from the palter? The palter is the baker. Did not alokech min palter meiser min kol defus u defus divra meir. So when you're buying from the baker, so you must make sure to separate. In other words, again, we're describing the palter who's an ama aretz. So what, in order for you to make sure that Trumas and Meisers are taken off, so you have to be mafrish, but you have to keep each mold separate from one another. Because each mold may represent different bakers, and therefore you have to keep them separate. So, And that is Shitas Reb Meir. In other words, the Mishnah we just quoted is Divrei Reb Meir. So that shows you that when you're buying from the Palter, you have to be mafish, and to be even more safe and assured, you have to keep each mold separate when you're being mafish. That shows you that when that's a clear indication that according to Reb Meir, when we're about to eat demai, you have to be more machmir. So elamaisach lemeimar palter mitrei tasa gavri zavin nachtonami michai gavri hu zavin. And as far as making a distinction between palter and nachtom, we're going to assume, because otherwise it's the two statements of Reb Meir are running contrary to one another, that the palter, when he buys his bread, is buying it from multiple vendors, but the nachtom is only buying it from one vendor. And even though the bread is coming in different molds, but it's all coming from one vendor. Okay, so that is Abai's editorial on the entire discussion of the Gemara. Rav Amar Shmuel Shapik Hamishanalei Shemisa La'olam. And Rav says, I don't agree with Abai's editorial. Meaning, what was Abai's editorial? That the question that got the whole ball rolling is an invalid question. Why? Because we're comparing Misa Bidei Shemayim versus Misa Bidei Adam. Right? The eating of Trumas Meiser, if you do in fact eat Trumas Meiser, is Misa Bidei Shemayim. Gittin is Misa Bidei Adam. And Abai says, I don't believe that's a fair comparison. Misa Bidei Adam is more strict than Misa Bidei Shemayim. Rava, in response, simply says, I disagree. And that's the last line of the Gemara. And Rava Amar Shmuel Shapik HaMishanilei Shem Misa Ba'olam. Because Misa is Misa. Meaning the Misa Bidei Shemayim and the Misa Bidei Adam, granted, one is a corporal punishment done by Beis Din. The other one is a death coming from the hands of heaven. But Misa is Misa, and categorically the same, and therefore it is in fact a fair comparison. Okay, Adkan. No. meaning that Gemara, it was just a clear illustration of that Gemara was just there to manage the opinions in the Mishnah and see how it could reflect various positions amongst other Tanayim. And the Amoraim spend, it's a discussion in the base measure stuff just to iron out various shitas. But it wasn't a halachic discussion per se. That was Lima Torah at its finest. Let's start the next Mishnah. Let's go into today. Let's go further into today's daf. Eilu dvarim shein lahem ona'ah, things that are not subject to the iser of ona'ah. Avadim shtaros hakarkaos v'hakdeishos. So So the list goes Evid, Shtar, Karka, and Hekdesh. Meaning any transaction involving any of these items is not subject to an Onah. So Evid, obviously over here, making reference to an Evid Kanani. So when I'm buying and selling an Evid Kanani, so there's no Isser of Onah. Shtar, when I make a sale regarding a Shtar. So in other words, if I'm buying somebody's note, so there's no Isser of Onah. So if I underpaid or overpaid, so meaning, and that's what happens when you buy notes, meaning they're factored, so, and that's how people make money, buying notes. So there's no Isser of Onah. Same thing is true regarding Hekdesh. When the Gizbar is selling Hekdesh, or if you're selling a carbon ola that had a blemish on it, and so therefore obviously no longer fit to be used in the Beit HaMikdash, under those circumstances, there's no ona'ah. Okay. Just mentioned it before, I'll mention it briefly again. When the Mishnah here tells us that there's no ona'ah by karka, so that means that when you're selling real estate, so obviously there's some sort of appraisal of the property, and there's some sort of fair market value for how much that real estate goes for, but the simple reading of our Mishnah is that it's not subject to Onah. The simplest way to read the Mishnah is that a person can pay or overpay, underpay, whatever he wants for land, and real estate just simply doesn't follow the regulations of Onah. That's the simplest way to read it. The Rambam, in fact, reads it that way. Meaning when the Rambam brings down the halacha of Ein Onah B'Karka, he simply means that the land is just simply exempt from the Isser of Onah altogether. The other Rishonim don't take that. I'd say it's a radical viewpoint. It's not really a radical viewpoint. It's really the simple way to read the Mishnah. But the Rishonim don't do that. Tosos a number of times says that Ona'ah by Karka, there is some sort of cap on it. It doesn't mean that it's totally out of the discussion of Ona'ah. Anyway, just a in general, the basic ideas to know. Ein lahem tashlum kefa v'la tashlum arba v'chamisha. Furthermore, when describing these items of evikanani shtar karkan hekdesh, not subject to kefal nor four or five, meaning that when you steal these items and you're caught with the items that you stole, or now by karka, obviously there's no discussion of dal v'hei. Dal v'hei is only subject to animals, but still, the idea is that when dealing with these items, there is no there's no kefal dal v'hei that's learned out through psukim. Shomer chinam eino nishba. If you are a shomer chinam on these items, so you do not make a shvua. The shvua that you were not poshea that's made by the shomer chinam is not made on these items. You don't make shvua on karka and karka related items, which is the list in the Mishnah. But no sesachar nemeshalim. The no sesachar doesn't pay for the items. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and Rabbi Shimon says Kach Meshul Chayabach Ruyusim Yesh Lamona, that if it is a carbon where I am I'm going to be personally liable for the carbon, if something were to happen to that carbon, I would have to make restitution for that. So even though the carbon of itself is not monetarily yours, it's a davar hagorim lamamon, and we've learned time and again that according to Rabbi Shimon, davar hagorim lamamon is kamamon dami, and so therefore yesh lamona subject to ona v'sheinu chai bechriyusim ein lamona. But if it's not, if you don't have personal liability on this carbon, meaning it's a nadava, if something happens to it, I'm not personally on the hook, so then you're not subject to ona. Rabbi Yehuda Omer afa mocher sefer Torah behema umargilos ein lahem ona, selling sefer Torah an animal and find stones, not subject to ona. Amr lolo amru ella es elu, and they said in response to Rabbi Yehuda, no, the list stops at the above and does not include the items that you just listed. Minani mili, let's start the Gemara. The Gemara is going to give us drashas. Detan rabban v'chisim kru mem kar lamisecha konam yad amitecha davar nigda miyad liyad yatsu karkaos shena metatalin. So first of all, the Torah describes that the isra vana is when you handing it over. So in other words, it has to be movables. So already land is excluded. Yatsu avadim shukshu lakarkaos. And we know, Gemara says time and again, here's an example, where an Eved Kenani is equated to karka, meaning that it has the same halachic principles as karka. Yatsu shtaros tichsi v'chisim kum memkar shegufa machor v'gufa kanu yatsu shtaros shein gufan machor v'in gufan kanui. A star, you're not actually selling a star, meaning all you're doing is transferring debt. Transferring debt is not a sale of commodity, it's just a sale of debt. Therefore, it's not subject to the rules of onah. The only thing the contract does is it just affords you the proof that now you're the owner of that debt. But it's not a sale of an actual commodity, therefore not subject to onah. Now, if you're selling a contract because you like that particular piece of paper, which is strange, admittedly, but in other words, if you're actually buying the paper as the paper itself, so then, now you're buying an actual commodity. Hey, I like that paper, I want that paper. It would be an excellent cover for my bottle, so then, now it's subject to an awe. Pshita, the Gemara says, that seems to be obvious. The Gemara says, not necessarily. La fukimit rav kana, da amar eno na laprutos. Kamash malan yesho na laprutos. Then the Gemara says, and we just did this a day ago, where we learned the sheet of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says that when you're dealing with such small items like a pruta, so there's no onah. So the Gemara says that I might have thought that according to Rav Kahana, the same thing would be true regarding the purchasing of pieces of paper. So small, so insignificant, it's not subject to onah. The Gemara says that's what we're learning over here, that we're excluding this position. Hekdesh is amakra, achiv lo hekdesh. And as far as hekdesh is concerned, hekdesh is not subject to onah. Again, because the Torah says when you are doing a transaction with your brother. So in other words, only when dealing with achiv, then there's an isra of onah. But when doing transactions with the Beis HaMikdash, it's a corporate entity, it's not a person, so therefore it's not subject to onah. Kind of, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we pick it up.